Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Annette Moore, the Acting Chief Information Officer of NASA's Johnson Space Center. Ms. Moore, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jason. Looking forward to it.
One thing about this program that I do enjoy very much is when I get to reach outside of the D.C. area and talk to people like yourself. You guys are in good old Houston, Texas, and it's always good to kind of hear back from people outside of D.C. about what's going on, how they view different IT challenges and issues. But let me start at the beginning. Johnson Space Center, give us a sense of what the mission of Johnson Space Center is and how it relates specifically and broadly to NASA's overall mission.
Johnson Space Center is known as a human space flight center. We pride ourselves on that. We have approximately 10,000 contractors, 3,000 civil servants. So it's a pretty broad base in terms of employment here. We support the broader NASA program, as you know, all of the activities and initiatives that are taking place on an agency level. We do that out of this space center. We have the astronaut training facility here where we train astronauts who support the International Space Station, and the International Space Station program is homed here at JSC, and of course, that reaches out across the entity of several other NASA centers. We have a great contingent here in terms of the folks who support that. Our Mission Control Center is here that supports the International Space Station program as well. So we have a large engineering directorate here that supports other activities and programs here at the Space Center and across the agency as well. So we have quite a broad base where we support the programs, the initiatives and activities that are going on at the agency level as well as here for human spaceflight for Johnson Space Center.
Human spaceflight, that's different because obviously other parts of NASA have different parts of spaceflight. But because you, as you said, the astronaut training program, that probably gives you some cool things to play with from a technology perspective or at least cool things to oversee. So let's talk about your role as the CIO and how you support that mission of human spaceflight.
My directorate has responsibility for the IT across the center and the IT infrastructure across the center. And that's quite broad spread when you look at the programs that we have to support. So I am responsible for ensuring everything from computer desktops to mobile devices to networks and firewalls. We just have a plethora of functions that reside within my organization. We support all of the end-user services here at the center. That includes, believe it or not, mail and postage that falls within my directorate, copiers, printers, graphics, things of that nature, applications that support the center, web development and websites across the center. We also have a business function within my office and a policy function, and that's for all of the IT policy, all of the business functions that are related to IT, which include reporting IT spend and IT investment. If you would imagine, of course, the IT security across the center, communications and networks across the center. So it's quite a plethora of functions that we provide support to across the center, and that's across all of the missions and all of the programs that we support here at JSC.
You may have answered this a little bit, but from a mission perspective, you're supporting the network that some of the mission apps, for instance, run on. Do you also help with the mission apps themselves, meaning if they need more storage or they need more computing power, is that where your office also comes in?
We also provide support in that area as well. As you might imagine, the missions have their own network, and that's for secure reasons, of course. However, we have partnered with them and are partnering with them from an IT security standpoint to ensure the safety and the security of those mission systems and applications. We have quite a collaborative partnership with our Missions Operations Directorate through my IT organization, and that's working quite well.
And from your perspective as a CIO, where do you stand? Are you an operations person, meaning you get your hands dirty in the coding, the bits and the bytes, or do you look at it from more of a strategy level? Where are we today? Where do we need to be in 3, 5, 7 years?
One of the greatest lessons I learned from my predecessor, Larry Sweet, who's currently the agency CIO, is that I'm smart enough to know that I have the really smart people working for me, so I don't need to get my hands dirty in the bits and the bytes, as you said. What's really important as a leader of this IT organization at the Johnson Space Center is that I'm looking forward, that I'm looking ahead, and that I'm leading us in a strategic forward-going plan for the IT at the center.
And I think that many times you're related to the mission, you help the mission, but a mission has maybe their own set of IT experts who are specifically looking at, you know, human spaceflight, and you you as the CIO sometimes are looking at the back office stuff. Many times CIOs get pushed into that back office, unfortunately, and they don't have that opportunity to look forward. So it's good to hear, obviously, that you are taking a strategic role, because I think more and more CIOs are finding that. Give me a sense of how that works. Do you guys have governance? Do you have an oversight board?
So we have all of what you've referred to, Jason. One of the things that we have that's really great is our center director, Dr. Ellen Ochoa, is really focused on ensuring we're maximizing and optimizing across the center and that we're reducing redundancies. And so we're looking at capabilities across the center, and that includes IT capabilities where we can help the missions and where we can help the program so that we don't have that redundancy and that duplication. That's also part of our fiduciary responsibility as being good stewards of our taxpayers' dollars. So we're looking at that very strategically. We're partnering with the programs, we're partnering with the missions, so that we're working together to come up with those IT solutions to ensure that we're optimizing across the center.
Sounds like you're giving me a little bit of a heads up of your priorities. Before we jump forward to that, let me just ask real quick about your job as CIO. Now, you've been in the acting role for a few months now. Talk a little bit about that transition from the deputy role to the full acting role, and give us a little bit more about your background. How long have you been at NASA? Where else have you worked, inside or out of government?
I actually started at NASA straight out of college as a contractor, and I spent about 23, 24 years as a contractor before moving on to our headquarters office in D.C., where I was actually the executive officer in the Office of Education. And I spent 5 years at headquarters. 4.5 years of that was actually in the office of the CIO, which is actually where I met Larry Sweet, who's now the agency CIO. So I transitioned from D.C. back to Johnson Space Center and assumed the role of an office chief in one of Larry's offices here at JSC, and worked my way through the process until I eventually assumed the role of the deputy CIO. That role has been a little bit different than the CIO role. In the deputy CIO role, I was very hands-on, very involved in terms of the workings of the organization, ensuring that all of the widgets were in the right place, our resources were appropriately allocated, our budget was appropriately allocated to ensure our ability to meet the mission. The role that I have now as the acting CIO is certainly more up and out. The years that I spent at headquarters were a great benefit for me, and that I got to see the government working, I got to see how the agency works from an agency standpoint, and have a great appreciation for why we have certain policies, certain guidelines in place, and that has helped me tremendously in my role as the acting CIO at JSC. It's given me a much more strategic outlook, a better appreciation and understanding for why things happen the way they do at the agency level, and that certainly is a great transition opportunity for me as I share out with my customers why we have certain requirements and certain guidelines that have to be enforced and have to be imposed.
It seems like the biggest difference between the acting CIO role and the deputy CIO role is the idea of how involved you are at the operational level. Do you find that is an easy transition? Because sometimes people get used to doing certain things and then they have to step back from it, and that change is hard because you like it. That's why you're doing it.
I think oftentimes folks who are very operation-centric are then tasked to do things that are more strategic and more up and out, and you're absolutely right. That's a difficult transition. However, I quickly recognize that I have folks who do the day-to-day operations, who are responsible for keeping our networks up, who are responsible for keeping our sites running and up, and those folks know what they're doing. They don't need me to do that. What they do need me to do is to advocate for the appropriate kinds of changes, the appropriate kinds of policies and practices across the center that will then embody and ensure that our customers are aligned with that strategy as well. So I'm out doing that forward work and that forward push to ensure that we can keep the missions and keep the programs doing what they need to do through the support that we provide.
All right, very nice. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into some of your priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My guest today is Annette Moore, the Acting Chief Information Officer of NASA Johnson Space Center.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Annette Moore, the Acting Chief Information Officer of the NASA Johnson Space Center. Annette, before break, we were talking a little bit about your role as CIO, your background, and spending time both within the headquarters at NASA and then going back to Johnson Space Center and also in the contractor world. So before we jump into priorities, just give me a sense, what is the makeup of your office? What was your IT budget for 2013?
My office is comprised of five different areas. I have a business management and policy office, an end-user services office, a project management and technical integration office, an applications and data systems office, and an information technology, security, and communication systems office. So you can see it spans across quite a few areas. Within that, there are probably about 56 to 59 unique functions that fall within my responsibility. I manage approximately 92 civil servants and about 400 contractors in my office. And our budget for this previous year was $34 million. So that gives you a good sense of the area of responsibility.
Decent budget, $34 million last year in 2013. So let's talk about your priorities. What are you hoping to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
My priorities, it's interesting. I just had an all-hands several months back, so this is so fresh in my mind, and I'm hoping it's fresh in the folks who work for me as well. Certainly, one of the priorities that I have for this organization is to ensure that we're looking ahead strategically and we're moving in the direction of the agency and the center. So for me, that means repurposing and redefining some of what we're doing from an organizational construct standpoint. So I want to ensure that we're providing the business and technology needs that our customers have. So that's paramount for me. Organizationally restructuring and looking at what we're doing from a business aspect. And certainly what's another priority for me is from the people aspect, ensuring that I've got a skilled, trained, agile, adaptable workforce that can support the ever-changing environment that we're faced with. What you might know and what I'm going to tell you next, I'm sure it's not going to surprise you, but certainly ensuring that we have a secure IT program here in place at the center that ensures that our information and data and our assets are well protected from vulnerabilities. Those are my top three priorities for this organization, and ensuring that we're able to make the necessary adjustments in our budget to continue to meet the ever-growing needs of the agency and the center.
All right, let's go back to the first one we talked about. Reorganizing. You went through earlier five different areas that your office looks at, you know, end user, program management, application data systems, IT security communications, business management. Is that where the reorganization is happening?
The reorganization is really taking place around our whole approach to how we provide IT services. If you speak to consulting firms such as Forrester and Gartner, if you look across the industry and the IT industry, IT organizations are recognizing the need to be more agile, more flexible, more adaptable to change. And they're understanding that organizations that are traditionally hard IT core organizations are moving more towards looking at the business technology to ensure they can meet the business needs of any organization. So what I'm trying to do is reshape this organization to be a business technology that provides IT solutions that meet the business needs of our customer. That's a little bit different approach than what you might get from a traditional IT organization.
How are you going about doing that? Is this a meeting with customers? I know, for instance, some agencies have set up what they call customer service bureaus within the IT department where they'll focus on different mission areas. Give me a sense of how you're going about ensuring that you are going to be, as you said, a business technology to provide IT solutions shop.
So we have customer service agents within my directorate, and those individuals are tied directly to the directorates across the center. They are listening to and hearing what the needs of the customers are, what their challenges are, what looks like the type of IT organization that will meet their business needs. I also invest in a council, an IT Leadership Council across the center that includes someone from our station program, from our missions operation directorate, from our engineering directorate, from the Orion program, and from several other key organizations at the center. And I listen to those folks. I hear what their pain points are, what their challenges are, what their business needs are, what their next business evolution will be for their organization. And my responsibility is to ensure that I'm tied into those key points and that I'm helping to drive this organization into a direction that will meet the needs of our customers. So it's a very intentional approach. It's strategic in nature, but it's also tactical in nature as well. Strategical from the standpoint of my role as the acting CIO, as I meet with IT influencers across the center. Tactical, of course, from the standpoint of the customer service agents that we have in place that interact directly day-to-day with our IT customers.
How big of a change is that for your customers? Is this something that this has been going on, the move has been going on for several years at NASA, or is this a major change because you heard, for instance, surveys or you've heard from other leadership that said, you know, we need the IT organization to be this and not that?
I think it's all of that, certainly by keeping our ear to the ground, looking ahead, looking at what IT organizations are doing, looking at what's happening across the federal sector when you look at decreased budgets, when you look at decreased workforce, and you've got to get a little bit more creative about how you provide your services and how you do business with your customers. And certainly our customers, as they change their business model, we're having to be more adaptable, more agile, and lean forward to be able to meet the needs that they have.
What kind of reaction are you getting? Are people happy that you're doing this type of customer service? Or are you ruffling some feathers? Are you moving a little bit of cheese here and there?
I think people are happy about it because they feel like they're being listened to. They feel that the nature of their business is important to their IT organization. And I will tell you what's paramount for me is the customer experience. And so I want to convey that to my customers. And I want that to resonate with my customers when they think about my directorate.
I think it's so important that the movement toward that customer service perspective is something that, I'm seeing across the board at a lot of agencies. Let me jump over to another one of your priorities, which is the agile workforce, because it's part of that. You know, as you move to a new reorganization, how you deliver services, you need people or you need workers with different skill sets. Is that a concern of yours that you're having the right skill sets, or are you getting people into training to make sure they have those skill sets?
It's absolutely a concern. So I'm looking at where the strengths reside within each individual. I'm giving them some opportunity by even giving them some challenge areas where they can do some things a little bit differently than what they have done before. I'm looking at how we repurpose and reuse the existing workforce, and I'm looking at some unique hiring or even job sharing opportunities for folks with other organizations across the center where someone may have a particular skill that's not a traditional IT skill. For instance, if I'm moving more towards being a business organization that provides IT solutions, then certainly someone from the business arena who might have a little bit different skill that we don't quite have in the IT arena, that's certainly an opportunity to optimize that in terms of getting us closer to the kind of organization that I would like us to be. So I'm looking at all types of creative approaches to how we can maintain, train up, ensure that the workforce that we have is certainly skilled and able to meet the needs of our customers.
Is there one part of the workforce, one job, one type of skill that you're seeing a very big lack of that you would like? You know, if there's one wish list, you'd say, I want more of these types of people, whether it's project managers or data scientists or whomever.
I think it's probably project management, people who have a business background that can certainly has a place in an IT environment. I would certainly say that's the case. And then folks who have those unique skills and capabilities, such as with cloud computing, that are a little bit harder to come by.
All right. I think your wish list is like most CIOs, more project managers and more people with that business background. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My guest today is Annette Moore, the Acting Chief Information Officer of NASA Johnson Space Center.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also...
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right. But did you know...
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about...
OMB's digital strategy.
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Annette Moore, the Acting Chief Information Officer of NASA Johnson Space Center. So, Annette, before break, we're talking about your priorities. We talked about workforce as a priority. We talked about a reorganization to better serve your customers. One of the other big priorities you talked about is cybersecurity, and I think every CIO tells me that's their top priority. So talk a little bit about how NASA is ensuring their data, their systems are secure, and where does the HSPD 12 Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12 cards come into play, and some of the other initiatives that we've heard about over the years?
My IT security team works not just across the center, but across the agency and across other federal agencies. So all of the other NASA centers work together in ensuring that we have a strong IT security program for the agency. In addition to that, my folks work very closely with other federal agencies, adopting best practices, tools that they have, other mechanisms that they have to ensure that their systems, that their data, and that their information is staying secure. We're currently, as you know, implementing all of the federal agencies, the PIV Smart Card Initiative. We are set well at a good point with this agency in terms of where we need to be by the end of the calendar year and the fiscal year. There is a mandate and a goal for 50% systems PIVed, and we're well on our way to that, not just at GSC, but at the agency level. So that has taken off, and we're really moving forward on that and ensuring that our users understand the importance of that and how that helps to protect their data and their systems. So we're certainly implementing that initiative across GSC as well as across the other NASA centers. I'm partnering as well with some of the organizations across the center. For instance, our Missions Operations Directorate, we're working very closely hand-in-hand with them to take advantage of tools and leverage other opportunities afforded to us by other federal agencies, and getting great insight and a great collaboration between those teams to ensure that our mission systems are even more secure than they currently are. That's been a great benefit for my IT security team in terms of initiating and implementing an IT security program here at the center that is robust.
So can you talk a little bit more about that missions operations director at work? Is it a matter of the networks we're talking about? Is it more of a workforce skills? How are you borrowing maybe some of the lessons learned from the mission side?
It's all of those things. That organization, our missions operations directorate, is a top-notch organization, and they take special care and give critical care, if you would imagine, to the mission systems. That's important. That's the lifeline of a lot of what we do here at GSC and at the agency for that matter. So they have folks who are smart, who are skilled, who give extra care and extra precaution for the mission systems. We're partnering with them and utilizing their knowledge and their expertise and their experience as well to see how we can make systems in general across the center more secure, more robust, less at risk for vulnerabilities and hacking of our systems here at the center. So we're working hand-in-hand with them. We're working hand-in-hand with their team of folks who are skilled in that area. We're working hand-in-hand, sharing with them tools, best practices, lessons learned, and they're doing the same with us as well. And we're actually sitting down across the table with them, working with them, actually going over, looking at their systems, which is kind of a novel approach because, as you might imagine, the importance and the criticality of the data that they have and ensuring that that data is very secure, we're actually working hand in hand with them, sitting around the table and getting a look at how we can help ensure that those systems are more secure. So we're taking advantage of and leveraging one another's personnel and the skill sets that are within those individual organizations, tools that we have, procedures and practices that we have. So it's really become a win-win situation for both organizations.
I want to move over to another priority that, while you didn't mention, I do know it is across NASA. It's the I3P program. It's the big contract consolidation program. From NASA point of view, this is a major effort across the entire agency, across the entire country. Let's bring it down to the Johnson Space Center level. How are you guys using I3P? Are you guys already seeing some benefits?
We're seeing some benefits from consolidating. It's helping us look at procedures and practices and how we do business. And so in that regard, the implementation of that contract here at JSC has been beneficial for us. It's a different contract vehicle than what we have used before, of course, because it's an enterprise contract, which means that there's a lot more consolidation of effort for us. And that's something that we're working on and refining as we go through the process of implementing that fully here at JSC.
From a consolidation standpoint, have you guys looked at how many programs, how many applications or systems you're looking to consolidate, and obviously with the help of the I3P?
That's an ongoing part of what we do here, and it's certainly one of our main focuses as we look across the contract. We've had great success with several areas that have been able to consolidate. Even if you look at things like the workstations, just the end deliverable products that are provided, how contracts can consolidate, how different organizations can consolidate. And so that's always a goal of ours. So we're looking at that optimization. We're looking at a more refined process of how we deliver products and services to our customers, and we're looking at how we utilize this contract vehicle to accomplish that.
Part of I3P is there's an offering for some web hosting, some cloud computing services, even some mobility. Are you taking advantage of any of those yet?
Oh, that's high on our list because that's where we want to go to. The work from anywhere, mobile workforce is high on our list. The ability to provision services in a different model, which is, would be cloud, for an example, is certainly something that's on our list. So that's absolutely one of the things that's on our tick-off list that we're working towards.
Are you guys already in the cloud in some ways? I know, for instance, cloud email is big, a number of agencies. You guys were ahead with some of the cloud around big data. I think it was the Nebulous Cloud from a number of years back. How are you guys using cloud today?
We have some smaller initiatives that are using cloud. We are looking at those larger initiatives that we want to move into the cloud. And in fact, I have a game-changing challenge for my IT organization right now to look more into areas that we can move into the cloud. So we're looking in 2014 how we can expand that and how we can really make some game-change moves for 2014. We've taken baby steps towards that. And right now I'm challenging my organization as one of my really big challenges that I have for my folks in my applications and data systems area to say, I really want to make some changes that are going to put us on the edge of where we really want to go in terms of cloud. So that's a key focus for my organization right now. I can tell you across the agency that's a key focus as well.
All right. Well, we are unfortunately out of time. Sounds like we could talk a little bit longer. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My guest today was Annette Moore, the Acting Chief Information Officer of NASA's Johnson Space Center. Annette, thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Great. Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.